on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook.
The Sportscast. Expect the unexpected.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
The Sportscast, April 1st, April Fools. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. It will also help us out if you go. We're also on online radio, and you can visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. And also you get our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. Big weekend, the changing of the tables, the lead, but not yet. Still early, Liverpool up top. But join us all the way from Maine, no longer Los Angeles. Welcome back to The Sportscast.
Thanks for having me back, Santi. Always a pleasure.
I am looking at some breaking news here, but I think it's my it's April Fool's. My friend just posted something on my WhatsApp saying that Man United let go of Ten Hag, the manager of Man United. And I was like, hold on. I got fooled this morning earlier.
I got a good one. Give me your fool. I want to. How'd they get you?
Well, another person from another chat group was saying that Inter Miami will be announcing that they will sign Neymar. So I got that early in the morning. And then just right now, my friend just put Ten Hag at got sacked by Man United.
You know how you get on those mailing lists for like Live Nation and other concert, you know, promoters telling you what bands are coming through? I'm on three different mailing lists for that. And I got one from a local one here in Portland, Maine, telling me that they were converting their facility over to a mime venue. So that they were gonna, and at first I was like, wow, that's a weird, oh, wait a minute.
I know. It is funny because I'm thinking of jokes, what to do today, what to pull. And you don't think about, hey, what's going to go towards your way? You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's good. It's good that you're being active. You're ready to do unto others. And you're saying that you're not ready for them doing unto you.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. But before we get started, let's see a word from our sponsor. Are you ready to accelerate your wealth and secure your family's legacy? Introducing VictorRocho.com, your cash acceleration insurance expert. At VictorRocho.com, we bring accountability to wealth creation inspired by Proverbs 13:22. Your family's financial future matters to us. Experience the power of debt-free life, our innovative insurance solution that not only protects but builds cash value over time. As your cash value grows, say goodbye to debt incrementally and watch your savings soar for a worry-free retirement, all without spending any extra money. With debt-free life, you're not just securing your future, you are creating a lasting legacy for your family, achieving financial freedom, and retiring with tax-favored income. Visit VictorRocho.com for more information. That's VictorRocho.com, where accountability meets prosperity. Your greatest asset is you. At VictorRocho.com. You can recognize Victor from our Jersey Boys Sports Talk every Thursday, 8 p.m. All right. Yesterday, the Premier League came back into full swing after international break. Let's start with this first match. Manchester City and Arsenal. Arsenal was at number two, and Man City was at number three. They drew for 0-0. There was not much hype. I didn't watch the match, actually, because I was so busy with Easter festivities. But looks like when I was seeing the highlights, Arsenal had a chance towards the end of the game, but it was not much going on.
Nothing was going on in this game. At first, I was prepared to give the game, the match, the benefit of the doubt. It was very intense, and the referee had a real interesting situation on his hands. I mean, he could have carded 10 guys in the first 40 minutes of that game, but he chose to keep it in his pocket, which probably benefited the match, such as it was. But there were hardly any chances on goal in this match. I mean, Trossard came on and had a chance right when he came on. And that was, I guess, with about a half an hour left, but really not a whole lot. Very hotly contested. Arsenal's probably more pleased than Manchester City to have gotten a point on the road. But Jurgen Klopp said it earlier in the week. They said, what are you hoping for in this match? And he said, I want them both to lose, which was a joke. But at least the tie gave Liverpool the edge, because by beating Brighton, they've now jumped onto the top of the table.
Few highlights from that game, which I actually noticed it. I was looking at my phone. I was glancing at it while I was with my folks. Manchester City had 72% possession, but they struggled to make anything of it against the defense. But I want to highlight 72% possession rate. That doesn't do much if you don't score a goal, but that's a pretty high number, isn't it?
It's very high, but Arsenal had made a decision to counter this team on the road, which is not a crazy decision to make. They actually, I thought, when you came right down to it, had the better opportunities. Manchester City just did nothing with that possession. They started just crossing the ball into Haaland, and Haaland was very well marked. They had him sandwiched. They weren't going to let him beat them in the box, and he did not. It was just a completely forgettable match. Great intensity. Obviously, anything could have happened. If someone had scored a goal, the match would have been, you know, benefited by it greatly, because someone would have had to open up. But Arsenal never had to stop doing what it was doing, which was hang back and sort of try to counter. Until Manchester City gets a goal in that scenario, they're going to take the point and go back to London.
Yeah, which is a massive point, because a year ago, how, if you do remember this, Man City beat Arsenal 4-1. So have we seen improvement from Arsenal, or a Man City dip?
I don't know. Manchester City has not lost a game at home in about 21 months. So they're still playing very well at home, but they have not, you know, they have not produced goals against good teams in the last month. They've had a chance to take their momentum and get to the top of the table, but they haven't been able to do it because Arsenal has held serve. But there's something about this team that just feels lacking. They haven't been able to pick apart. Manchester City is a possession team. They're gonna have more possession than their opponents in almost every case. But what they do very well is break down two blocks of four. They're very, very experienced at it because so many teams play them this way. But they could not do it against Arsenal. I think you have to give them credit, Arsenal, that is, because they bottled them up. They just didn't give them anything. And they actually had a couple chances themselves on the counter, and they did not score. And here we are, 0-0. But for all the buildup, it was, I thought, a massive letdown. I organized my entire Sunday morning flying back from Fresno, of all places, to catch this game on Peacock before my flight went out. And I was I watched, I guess, 92 minutes of it before I had to turn off my phone and let the plane fly off into the great blue yonder. But I didn't miss anything.
Not miss anything. At the end of the match, Guardiola admitted that Liverpool are the favorites to win the league. And during Klopp's final season with Liverpool, which that will switch to our next segment, Liverpool being Brighton. Forward Mohamed Salah scored the winner for Liverpool as they came back from a goal down to beat Brighton 2-1 and go on top of the Premier League. Salah's sublime second half strike leaves Liverpool on 67 points, two ahead of Arsenal and three ahead of Man City, who played out a 0-0 draw, as we said before. The first goal came in the first 84 seconds by a familiar name for Man United, Danny Welbeck, which that kind of threw Liverpool a little bit shock, surprise. But Luis Diaz came back, helped out Liverpool, scored. Was an interesting goal. It was like a nice, you know, bang to the goal at the 27th minute. And then at the end of the game, Salah scored by a pass by McAllister. He's been passing to Salah. But your thoughts over this match, which I think was the match of the day.
Well, it was the match of the day, and I think that is what is so interesting about the English Premier League. This Man City-Arsenal game was hyped for weeks. Everyone was keyed up for it. They put it on Peacock and not on USA so they can get more money. It was terrible. Brighton and Liverpool could not have been more entertaining. The Welbeck strike to open the game was a rocket, and what a finish. Brighton, let's just take a quick moment to recognize that Brighton is very, very good. They were in this match. They had a chance to get a point at least. But they, you know, they're as good as Tottenham. They're as good as Villa. They've shown as well as West Ham, certainly, that this is a top six side, and they gave as good as they got. But if you did watch the match, Liverpool could have scored 10 goals in this game. They had a lot of chances against Brighton, and Brighton was fortunate they only gave up two. But definitely a fun match. And yeah, I would say the game of the weekend. But wow, Newcastle and West Ham was an amazing match. So the EPL has a pretty good brand for a reason.
Yeah, which we can touch on that right now, actually. Newcastle, hold on, let me pull up the game here because I had it.
Down three to one, came back and won the match 4-3. And they've been not been playing well, Newcastle, to come back and do that against a quality side. You know, you look at West Ham, this is a team that is not mid-table. They're like Brighton, they're 7, 8, 9, sort of like Man City in that group, and Chelsea. These are good squads. I mean, they have Paqueta, you know, the Brazilian. They have Jared Amazing Bowen, pastor. Great striker. The Czech dude, Suchek, plays for West Ham. They're loaded. That's a talented team. And, you know, they lost just a barn burner to Newcastle. And I think a lot of people would say that was the match of the weekend. But didn't it happen on Friday? I couldn't even.
It happened on Saturday, I think, during the 10 a.m. window.
Oh, okay. Maybe the first window. I can't remember.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting for Newcastle. Let's look at the other scores of that day. Your Tottenham beat 2-1 against Luton. Own goal by Kabore and another goal by Son. You know, Luton's interesting because, yeah, they're a lower tier club, but they do challenge a lot of these big clubs sometimes.
They do. They are, I think, the general consensus choice to stay up of the teams that were promoted from the championship last August. They've been very entertaining. They've snagged points or won games about six different times in the last minute. They're very they're hardworking. They can score goals, and they scored first in this match very, very early. So immediately Tottenham was down. But, man, Tottenham, again, could have had 4 or 5 or 6 goals in this match. They had a goal disallowed because it was not quite over the line, where the ball was more in the goal than any non-goal I've ever seen. They finally honed in. They took their sweet time about it. Usually they come very fast with that goal line bird's eye technology where they show you just how much of the ball isn't over the line. And this is like a millimeter of the ball. When they zoomed, they had to zoom all the way in so you could see. That would have won the game for them maybe 10 minutes earlier, and they had already missed some golden opportunities, and I thought maybe they weren't going to get the winner here, but they did, and now Tottenham is poised to make up the 3 points they are trailing Aston Villa by in the next week. And I guess that's an interesting way to pull it back around, is Man City, I believe, plays Villa next weekend at home. And pity the villains. They're going to get crushed. Man City is pissed that they could not score for the first time in, I think, 2.5 years on their home field there at the Etihad. So Villa is in for a thrashing next week. And I welcome that because we need them to lose in order for Tottenham to move into the fourth place slot.
They actually play on Wednesday, not Saturday.
Oh, but this is Man City and Villa?
Aston Villa, yeah, they do have some midweek matches this week. I'm not sure why, but
even better. Yeah, they're playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Even better for Tottenham because Man City is going to be even more angry because it's more recent, the Sunday disappointment. So, yeah, I would not want – I pity the villains on Wednesday and, you know, up the whites in Tottenham. We're looking good.
Let's run down the score down the Premier League. Bournemouth beat Everton 2-1. Chelsea ties Burnley 2-2.
I love Maurice Pochettino. He, I got to know him when he coached Tottenham all the way to a, you know, European Cup final. But I do not understand that result. I believe Chelsea had a man sent off. Rather, Burnley had a man sent
their
off.
Man so off
Chelsea,
and their manager.
Yes, yes. They could not beat Burnley at home with Burnley playing 10 men. That's a very, very bad result. And one of the goals that Chelsea scored was a Panenka by Cole Palmer, which was beautifully executed, but I don't know. I think in poor taste against a 10 man Burnley to do that in a penalty, you know, just go ahead and score. If just think about how bad Chelsea would be this year without Palmer. He scored tons of goals for them. So yeah, I'm not sure Pochettino is going to be there. You know, in August. Longer.
You don't think they'll give him a like a long 2-3 year project, or you think, hey man, if you got to give him his results or
Chelsea
something.
Does not do 2 or 3 year projects. Hardly anyone does. So it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, the guy can clearly coach. We've seen it at two separate places. Chelsea is still a very difficult place to manage a team. They have a huge pool of players. They're all talented, but how do you mold it? I think it's a lot simpler when you have 17 guys and you know that they're the only ones worth a damn. I don't know. I have no answers for Chelsea. And as a Tottenham fan, again, I'm reveling in the fact that they're no good. Oh, did I tell you my Arsenal fan plane story?
No, tell us, please.
This is good. So I get on the flight from Phoenix to Philadelphia on American Airlines, and a young family sits across the aisle from me, and the guy is wearing an Arsenal away jersey, the teal and blue ones, blue with teal sleeves. JVC, I think, was still – it's an old one. And then, of course, he had a Gunners hat on too. So the guy's obviously an arsehole. So, Yeah. So, I don't like Arsenal people. And there's a name, there's a reason they call them the Arse. So, but anyway, he had his kid there. And I gave the kid a jelly bean because I had some jelly beans for the trip. It's Easter Sunday. And every time I gave the kid a jelly bean, I'd be like, you could say Tottenham, you know, here's one for Tottenham, go Tottenham. And the guy actually had a good line. He came back and said, hey, look, the kid throws up enough. Don't keep saying that to him. But then, you know, at that point, you know, I had watched the Man City Arsenal game and I made a comment to the guy about how that result was inconclusive, you know, to the title race. And he was like, no, don't tell me about the game. I'm taping it. I'm like, well, you need to let someone know that you have taped the game. If you're going to wear Arsenal gear on a plane 6 hours after the fact, if you're going to go home and watch the game and we're having a Tottenham, you know, soccer banter across the aisle, you need to say, hey, no spoilers. I'm watching the game tonight. I haven't seen it. And I would have gladly, you know, honored his wishes, but I think he got really mad at me for giving him the result of this game that was 6 years old. But again, these people root for a team called the Arse. So we can't expect good behavior from them. But I still was shocked. I mean, if you're going to be if you don't want any spoilers and someone is talking footy with you already, just say, hey, don't tell me about the score. I would have honored it. It was weird.
Arsenal was undefeated in 2004.
They are. I mean, I'm happy for them, I guess. I mean, I can't wait for the North London Derby at White Hart Lane, which is, I think, coming up in a week or two. It would be fabulous for Tottenham to win that game and knock them out of the race. But we're just going to have to wait and see. And I'm going to not soon forget my encounter with that dude.
Wow. Incredible. You know, it's interesting because I've always wanted to, like, get to know these Premier League supporters here in America. Like, how did you become an Arsenal fan? How did you become a Liverpool? I mean, like, sometimes it's just random.
How did you become a Liverpool fan, Santi?
I had a good friend of mine that was a Liverpool supporter, and I just said, okay, let me become a Liverpool supporter. At the time when I became it, I think Luis Suarez was just getting on the team.
Right.
So I kind of felt a little bit more good with that. So I was like, okay, let me become a Liverpool supporter. I had to deal with a lot of years. We didn't win anything, you know, managers back and forth. And when Klopp came in 16, I felt a little bit more comfortable. So
listen to you. I had to deal with a lot. I went to school in London. I've spent a lot of time in England. They're very serious about this matter in England. And I learned this because I've been a Tottenham fan since 1978. My U14 team trained with Tottenham when I went over with my club as a kid. And then I went to university in North London and just picked up from there. So I go back a ways, and it's sort of geographic, but everyone is sort of, if you pick Liverpool and you don't live in Greater Liverpool, you're looked askance at, you know, because they're like, you're front running. And also when I was a Tottenham fan and I sort of took Fulham under my wing when they started, you know, signing all these Americans, I would say things like, well, I'm a Tottenham guy, but I'm really enjoying Fulham because of all the Americans. And people will say, well, you can't do that. You can't have another club in the same division. You can have a lower tier club that is maybe a hometown club or some sentimental choice, but you can't. They're very strict about having your rooting allegiance. Here in America, as you say, it's even weirder. And it is a source of great front running. I mean, this fellow that I met on the plane, why is he an Arsenal fan? I mean, and if you choose to root for Arsenal or Man City today, it's like rooting for Amazon. I mean, it's a clear front running choice. You know, 10 years ago, it would have been Chelsea that people, you know, love, and only because they're winning. So I don't know. I'm happy to have had a team established long before, so I don't have to deal with that. But it's a little precious to walk around the world with your gear on, you know, on an Easter Sunday in any case. But you know, it's like you're either pumping your team up or you want to talk to people about soccer, right? If you're wearing Arsenal gear, well, no, I'm taping the game. Well, then why are you wearing the shirt?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, 'cause I've not met too many Man City fans around here, at least. I'm not sure about you.
Not many. There are some. They're good. So I think people like to root for teams that win. Why were there so many Dallas Cowboys? Why were they America's team for so long? Because they won all the time. I do a lot of business in Asia. And starting in 2005, everyone was a Chelsea fan. Everyone was a Man U fan. And it's, look, these people aren't local. They don't care about, they didn't grow up with these teams. They chose them because they win. But they were more attractive than Man City for some reason. And I think part of that is the reason Man City is good. They're owned by a sheikh and they spend a ton of money. Are there a lot of PSG fans outside of Paris? Not really.
I don't mean too many of those, unless you are into like Air Jordans or something. And and other scores, Nottingham tied against Crystal Palace 1-1. Sheffield United 3-3 against Fulham. Aston Villa beat Wolves 2-0, so they give him some motivation, some confidence against Man City this Wednesday. Yep. And Brentford tied 1-1 against Man United. I don't know if that's an upset for Man United.
I don't know, but it's good news for Villa and Tottenham because Man U was playing a little bit better and they were starting to get on the heels of both those teams battling for that fourth Champions League spot. But I think Man U is sort of screwed. Can I say something, too, about Nottingham Forest?
Yeah, go ahead.
They're in a bad way right now. They're very close to relegation. They just got penalized by the FA. 4 points, only 4 points, docked because they aren't adhering to the sustainable and profitability rules. Let's not get into that. But I really enjoyed having Forest back in the Premier League. I was first, you know, made aware of English club soccer in the 70s when I was a kid. They started televising games for the first time in the mid-70s, and, you know, this was Forest's heyday. They were champions of Europe, 78, 79, and great teams, Brian Clough, Viv Anderson, tons and tons of talent, and they were not in the Premier League for a long time. They were in the lower divisions, second and you know, championship and third division, so I hope they stay up. They have a massive, you know, they have a massive club there in the Midlands, in the British Midlands. They're very, very popular because they have this great history. And it would be a shame if they went down because the team's not bad and they get massive crowds. It's just a great, insane atmosphere at the City Ground. I've been there. I hope they stay up.
Yeah. As you see in the table, Nottingham is right above the relegation zone. Then who's getting relegated as of today is Luton, Burnley, and Sheffield. Then we got 16th, Everton, Brentford, Crystal Palace, Bournemouth, Fulham, Chelsea 11th, Wolves at 10th, 9th, Brighton, 8th, Newcastle, 7th, West Ham, 6th, Man United, 5th, Tottenham, 4th, Aston Villa, 3rd, Man City, 2nd, Arsenal, and 1st, Liverpool. How do you see this table? Obviously, that top three is interchangeable. I think Liverpool-Arsenal is going to be the favorites for now, but what are your thoughts?
Wow. That's really a tough decision for me. I don't want Arsenal to win. And I don't really want Man City to win. I guess I'll root for Liverpool, but I'm really one of these people who I'm not into predictions. I'm just happy that we've got the closest race in about a decade so that we really don't know with seven matches to go what will happen. And that's good. That's why people from all over the world watch this product. It's why I watch it. I guess the sad part is that there really isn't going to be much movement at the bottom or the top of this table. The only drama is Tottenham versus Villa for that fifth spot and versus the fourth spot. And below, you know, Luton is really the only club that I see being able to pull itself out of the relegation zone over the next, you know, seven games. Forest, I think, has a better team than they do. And all they need is a couple of home wins, and they will be safe regardless of this docking of points. But Sheffield and Burnley are going down. And Luton, though, has done enough, I think, already to stay up, but has been very unlucky. They've also pulled a bunch of results out of their arseholes. And it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But, that, you know, that's one team trying to stay up, and they're sort of folk hero-ish, popular in England because they're plucky, but tiny, tiny fan base. Not a real popular club nationwide. We'll see what happens, but not a ton of drama.
Not too much drama. We do have some midweek matches this week, as we were talked about earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, we got Newcastle, Everton at Newcastle. Who do you have there?
Everton at Newcastle?
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Everton because I think Newcastle shot its wad against West Ham. They overachieved. They've been terrible in 2024, and Everton need a victory desperately to stay ahead of Forest and sort of out of the zone. So yeah, I guess I'll go with Everton because, you know, I'm not laying money on it.
Keep the table up. See if your prediction changes or not. Fulham and Nottingham Forest.
Fulham at home to Nottingham Forest.
It's at Nottingham Forest, but if you want to say Nottingham Forest versus Fulham, that's I can say that too.
Yeah, I would say Forest is going to win that game. They must win at home, and Fulham has not been great. Although they pulled out a 3-3. Poor Sheffield, you know, had a game won 3-2, and this new Brazilian striker Muniz has scored his eighth goal in eight games for Fulham. Who's Mitrovic? We don't even remember him.
I forgot about him.
He's off at Saudi Arabia. The hell with him. This guy is a find. Wow, he's really scoring goals and having fun now.
Bournemouth home versus Crystal Palace.
Palace is another one of those teams. I just happened to watch the Palace Forest game Saturday morning when I was watching Tottenham sort of out of the corner of my eye, watching this other game. Palace has some real talent, but.
I like it, man.
Who are they playing? Oh, Bournemouth. Bournemouth. Yeah. I'm going with Tyler Adams and Bournemouth. They played pretty well this year.
He played a full match this past weekend.
He did, and you know, I saw the heat map for that. I don't know why. Someone, you know, what's a pretty good wrap up for soccer? I've found is the Reddit football page.
Red's good. Yeah.
Yeah. It just got a really interesting mix of highlights and information, and they showed a heat map for Tyler Adams, and man, the dude covers so much ground, and I'm so glad that he's back, and it's certainly going to make Bournemouth a better team. But look, Bournemouth isn't even trouble of going down. It's quite amazing to me. That's a no-name squad, and Adams has hardly played, and they're not going anywhere.
Burnley home versus Wolves.
Jeez, who cares? Next.
Okay. West Ham versus Tottenham.
There we go.
That's a match. That's a London derby.
Well, it is. And that's the thing about being a Tottenham fan, and I suppose an Arsenal fan. There's so many big matches just in London. Chelsea's a derby. West Ham's a derby. Arsenal's a derby. Brentford is a derby. Fulham is a derby. So this is going to be a very interesting game. I really hope Tottenham holds serve and wins the game. Is it at home or is it at West Ham?
It's at West Ham.
Yeah, that's going to be a difficult match because, as we discussed, these guys are super potent. Very good team. And, you know, we didn't even talk about him. James Ward-Prowse plays for West Ham. I'm happy that he's gotten a chance to play for a bigger club than Southampton. Interesting player. Obviously, very gifted right foot. Just so great on set pieces. But he's good. He covers some ground. They've just got a lot of pieces. But bad result for them against Newcastle after being up 3-1. They're going to be loaded for bear against the Whites.
And that Paquetá, man, he's definitely rising. Wednesday, Luton at Arsenal. I'll probably say Arsenal.
Yeah, I think Luton is going to. But, man, I'm going to be rooting hard for Luton, but I wouldn't put money on it.
Brighton at Brentford.
The two teams that are really better than everyone wants to give them credit for. I mean, I think Brighton is a very good team. I'm going to go with Brighton.
And Aston Villa and Man City.
Well, I think that's like throwing fresh meat to the lions. The villains, I think, are in for a tough afternoon there.
I agree. Well, there you have it.
I would put money on that.
There you have it. Well, we're out of time, Hal, but what is you have your Premier League matches this past weekend and then Tuesday and Wednesday. A lot going on. There's a lot of championship games today, so we'll see what happens. But Hal, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about how you write in Josh Sargent's goal scoring prowess?
You can check me out online at my my companion book site, genzero.halphillips.net, and you can catch me on the same address at Instagram and Threads.
And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, or thesportscast1 on Twitter and also IG. We'll be looking forward to this week, like going on March Madness. Who now we're in the final four. Who's going to make it to the finale?
I don't know, but I'm really interested to see the Zach Edey, DJ. What the hell is that dude's name? The guy who basically
all I know is Edey.
The left-handed dude from NC State, the chubby one, he looks like a
guy.
A friendly Zach Randolph with some skills.
If I can pull up on Google matchup right now,
yeah. But I think UConn looks to be the class of the field, and as a New Englander and a longtime UConn fan, because they were the only good D1 program in New England for a long time, I think they're going to be heavily favored to win it all. Go Huskies!
DJ Burns is his name.
Yeah, DJ Burns, fabulous. DJ Burns
pulled up on Google.
But NC State, I mean, this is a very interesting comp with NC State from 1983, who I think was also an 11 seed, came out of nowhere, won the ACC tournament to make the field, and they're caught fire, and the very difficult team to play against. Great guard play, an amazing presence in the paint, a bunch of other bangers, tough team to play against. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Purdue because, Edey is so immobile. If he has to actually guard some big guys who are quick, he may be found out.
NC State UConn, we'll find out this week. Anyways, Hal, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Always my pleasure, Santi. Talk to you soon.
This was your update.